Peter said unto Jesus, Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him, till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. When the Israelites stood at the shores of the river Jordan to begin their conquest of the promised land, the command was for them to first take Jericho. With the conquering of this first city, the promised land would begin to fall into the hands of God's people unto whom he had promised that land ages before. Centuries after the promise to Abraham, it was Moses who was in charge, and it was Moses who led the people out of Egypt 40 years prior to that moment. It was Moses who had led them through so many trials and who had interceded on their behalf so many times. It was Moses that was God's man. But as you recall, the lyrics of the song are not Moses fought the battle of Jericho. It's Joshua fought the battle of Jericho. Where was Moses when they finally crossed the Jordan into the promised land? Well, in the verses just before the passage from Numbers that we've heard today from the Old Testament, we encounter the answer. And we see a rather uncompromising stance of God Almighty concerning Moses and concerning his leadership. And the Lord spake unto Moses and Aaron, because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given them. Indeed, because of what happened at the waters of Meribah, Aaron died on Mount Hor, and Moses died on Mount Nebo, with a spectacular view of the promised land, but that was the closest Moses would get. What in the world had happened at the waters of Meribah that neither Aaron nor Moses should complete this journey with God's people into the promised land? And why was the task handed over to the next generation and to Joshua? It may be surprising for some to see this passage added or assigned on a day such as today, where the gospel is all about forgiveness. In our gospel, Peter has asked Jesus how many times he should forgive sins. And Jesus had said to Peter, not 70 times, but 70 times 7. That kind of forgiveness expresses the character of God. This kind of forgiveness is an image of endless mercy and grace. In Jesus, we see that infinite forgiveness personified. And then one might be led to ask, where was the mercy of God for Moses and Aaron? And you must take a closer look. At Meribah, there were two problems. And the first was that there was no water. And that is a big problem when you're leading tens of thousands of people through a desert. The people were not happy. The second problem was with Moses. Moses was instructed by God to solve the first problem, that of having no water, but he was asked to solve it in a very specific way. God said to Moses the following words, take the rod, and gather thou the assembly together, thou and Aaron thy brother, and speak. Speak ye unto the rock before their eyes, and it shall give forth his water, and thou shalt bring forth to them water out of the rock. So thou shalt give the congregation and their beasts drink. Moses did something, but it wasn't that. And Moses and Aaron gathered the congregation together before the rock, and he said, not unto the rock, but unto them, hear now, ye rebels, must we fetch you water out of this rock? And Moses lifted up his hand, and with his rod he smote the rock twice, and the water came out abundantly, and the congregation drank, and their beasts also. But that was not what he was supposed to do. And as a result, Moses and Aaron would find their way into the kingdom of God, but they would not find their way into the promised land. The instructions were to speak to the rock, and instead Moses, who was known to be a hothead at times, snapped at the people and struck the rock with his staff, saying, ah, what's the difference? What about that was so bad? What about that would be remembered about what he did? What was it that God would not forget? Moses was meant to speak to the rock to show the Israelites that it was by the word that they would find nourishment. St. Paul would say to the Corinthians many centuries later, "And were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ." God had something to show these people. The flag of salvation was unfurling if just Moses would listen and do what he was told to do. He had something to communicate that God had prepared from the foundation of the world. And he turned to his chosen and ordained one to help the people of God understand in the midst of their physical and spiritual thirst. And Moses decided not to deliver the message. God's account of Moses' behavior, he does not say, "You disobeyed," but rather, "Because ye believed me not to sanctify me in the eyes of the children of Israel, therefore ye shall not bring this congregation into the land which I have given to them." And what is the transgression of Moses then, of the leadership of the chosen people as they approach the promised land after wandering in the desert for 40 years? "You did not believe." And that was it. God would forgive, but very interestingly, he would not forget. And now you know you must have read it wrong, because forgive and forget is in the Bible somewhere, right? First hesitation, chapter 0, verse never. Right next to "God works in mysterious ways." Right next to "God helps those who help themselves." Right next to "this too shall pass." Right next to "you win some, you lose some." While forgive is everywhere in the Bible, and forgiveness reveals the very character of God, what about forgetting? Only in a few places is it stated that God will remember our sins no more. But when we're speaking of an omniscient God, can we really be serious when we say that God can't remember? This can only be a literary device. Your sin is removed from you as far as the east is from the west. And when you are in Christ, his innocence is your innocence. His righteousness is your righteousness. But while we know that we are forgiven, we cannot say that God has forgotten what our sin was or is. And now you're thinking, this can't be right. Actually, it can be right. And it is right. Listen to the words of Jesus Christ as he describes with a parable the nature of forgiveness. "The kingdom of heaven is likened unto a certain king which would take account of his servants. He finds that one owes an insurmountable debt," which is, many have estimated 10,000 talents is like a national debt. It's almost a joke in the parable. There's no way you could pay that off. "The kingdom of heaven is likened unto this certain king. He finds one who owes the debt. His servant falls down before him and asks for patience and forgiveness." Patience is a joke. How could you ever pay that much? Sounds familiar. Sounds like we are not worthy so much as to gather up the crumbs from under thy table, but thou art the same Lord whose property is always to have mercy. And that is true. In the parable, the Lord forgives the debt, and in our lives, the Lord forgives the debt. You could almost say the debt is remembered no longer. God forgave, and in a manner of speaking, God forgets. But what happens next? That same servant who is forgiven the insurmountable debt is now unwilling to forgive a negligible debt to one who owes him. And word of his merciless, unforgiving behavior makes it all the way back to his Lord. And the Lord, who forgot all those debts, remembered. "O thou wicked servant, I forgave thee all that debt, because thou desirest me. Shouldst not thou also have had compassion on thy fellow servant, even as I had pity on thee? And his Lord was wroth and delivered him to his tormentors till he should pay all that was due him. And so don't get mad at me. That's Jesus speaking now. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Should not you have in turn been merciful to others, since you've been shown such mercy? Forgiveness, when pure and complete, looks a lot like forgetting. But it's not the same thing. Unless you have a bowling ball dropped on your head, you will not forget the things that have been done to you and the wrongs that have been done to you in your life. And because you remember, well, then how much more meaningful is it when God requires of you to, from your hearts, forgive everyone his brother their trespasses? Not from your amnesia, from your heart, forgive your brother his trespass. A parallel here between Moses' failure at Meribah and the consequence, the requirement to forgive, with the consequence for disobeying. What does forgiveness require? What does it really mean for us? What it means is to believe. What prevents you from forgiving another person their trespass? That person made you suffer, and you're not sure that they're going to get justice wrought out upon them. If you just leave the vengeance and justice to God, and so you take it upon yourself to inflict that punishment upon them by never forgiving them, by doing whatever you can to make life uncomfortable and painful for them. You approach the rock at Meribah. God has asked you to speak a good word and let him do the miraculous work. Let him be the judge, but instead comes out the sharp word and the club. What Moses is faulted for at the waters of Meribah is unbelief. Not impatience, not anger, unbelief. And God remembered the unbelief. And what is at the heart of a person who is supposed to know that they've been forgiven a great deal, but yet won't forgive another person their offense? Unbelief. A person does not really believe they're forgiven, and then does not really believe that God will be just. And that unbelief is not so easily overlooked. When Jesus spoke about those who do not believe enough to forgive others, he said he will remember again the debt you were forgiven. So likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you, if ye from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. That's a serious warning. And it makes you want to get to work, doesn't it? We're hearing two things. We're hearing about the unlimited mercy of God to forgive insurmountable debts, and a warning from the Old and New Testaments, from God the Father and from our Lord Jesus Christ himself. God is not mocked. You are required to believe enough to forgive. The image of Moses dying on Mount Nebo, seeing the promised land but not going to the promised land because of his unbelief, makes you want to believe, doesn't it? It makes you want to find out whatever God is asking you to do and just do it. It makes you want to be the one who sees the promised land and is not left behind. And what is he still asking you to do today? What is it that gives you the strength to follow him, to forgive, even if you can never forget? It is belief. It is faith in him and in his goodness. And you can start by believing what he says today. Lord, how oft shall my brother sin against me, and I forgive him? Till seven times? Jesus saith unto him, believe me, I say not unto thee until seven times, but until 70 times 7. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.